This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, November 17, 2018, the Vigil of the 25th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. We all want that. We all want to shine bright for all eternity. And that's what the prophet Daniel is talking about in his writings. He is talking about the eschaton, to use a theological word, the last days, the end times. Very dramatic. But all three of the readings today, they point us in a direction where we become wise, where things are ordered, so to speak, in our minds. That is truly a part of Christian wisdom, is to have an orderly understanding of our Lord. Order is God's rule of the day. 2 weeks from now, Advent. This is actually the last Sunday in Trinitytide. Next week is Christ the King, and then Advent. The Catholic New Year happens every year. Advent, Easter time, Trinity tide, over and over and over again. For someone just looking from the outside, it can seem monotonous and boring, but it's not. It's orderliness. God lets us understand how he works. He's got to repeat things over and over again. I always like when people say, oh, I go to Mass, I get the same out of... But then you ask them to recite something or pray. Oh, I don't know that. I don't know that. That's why we repeat things. That's how we learn. It makes our lives orderly. God is a God of order. From the time of Genesis, let there be light, and he separates it from darkness. Let there be the waters, separates the firmament from the earth. Let there be seas and dry lands, separation. Let us make male and female, separation. He's a God of order. He's a God of design. There is a structure to the natural order. The natural order screams in its natural light that we understand some things about the orderliness of creation. God, for instance, made everything, right? Out of nothing. He made rocks and trees. And the dry land, plants, they are creation. They are material things. They have no spiritual part whatsoever. They were created by God, but they have no spirit in and of themselves. And then he made man. He makes him out of the dust of the earth. But then he breathes into us a living soul. You ever notice that in Genesis, there's a separation there. We are made in our bodies of things of the earth, but God breathes our soul into. It is not of the earth. It is not of the created order. It is of heaven. It is of God himself. He made us in his own image. So we're this hybrid. The hybrid sounds pejorative. We are the connecting point between heaven and earth because we have a material body and we are spiritual. The angels, on the other hand, they are completely spiritual. They do not have bodies. They are pure intellect, as St. Thomas Aquinas says. Pure intellect. We learn everything that we learn, for instance, by sense. God knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. That's why the Holy Spirit has given us a liturgical calendar. Because we learn from experience. We learn from repetition. Angels don't learn from experience because they don't have a body to experience things as we do. They are pure intellect that they have received from God in his grace and their creator order. So you've got this order of creation. Material with no spirits, material with spirits, angels, spirits without material. The ministry of angels speaks to God's order. September, late September and October, replete with feast days for angels. The end of September, we have on September 29th, St. Michael the Archangel, October 2nd, the Guardian Angels, October 24th, St. Raphael the Archangel. Every time we have a Mass for angels, the collect, the prayer of the day, speaks of this wonderful ministry of angels and men that is a wonderful order that God puts in place in his created order. We have to appreciate this orderliness. We don't only have to appreciate it like, wow, look, God's a God of order. Being part of that order, we must order ourselves. That is what our Catholic life is. It is bringing order. Because guess what? After the fall in the garden, God had made everything right. He made it very orderly. He set the things and the bounds that he wanted. He placed those in roles that he wanted. And then the fall. Everything was very good, meaning that it was orderly. The primary result of the fall, if you can put it in a nutshell, is disorder. We are spiritually disordered. We are now physically disordered. We are emotionally disordered. And our Catholic life is in the association with the holy angels, trying to get order back in our lives. You know, when we pray the prayer to our guardian angels to lighten us, what is that all about? I mean, we say the words, but what does that mean? How do angels enlighten us? You know, most people pick their guardian angels as this, you know, being that has a shield, and then when you almost get in a car wreck, he keeps you from getting hurt. Okay? They're much more than that. The angels truly do lighten us because their presence with us is that lightening. That, for instance, an analogy would be you have a pot of water and you put it over a flame, what happens? It gets hot, and it leave it there long enough, it boils. Leave it there long enough, it turns to steam and goes away. The fire has changed the water, so to speak. When angels, our guardians, enlighten us, their presence does that to us, if we, in our free will allow it. Because the angels have been sent by Almighty God to be with us each individually until we breathe our last, and it is their mission, in cooperation with our free will, to enlighten us, to reorder ourselves, in preparation for what? The resurrection. Angels are directly involved in our resurrection in this heavenly order. We see that in the first reading today. From Daniel, in that prophecy. He's talking about the end times. And what's the first thing that's said? Michael. Michael, who has charge over the people of God, is there guiding, directing, enlightening this resurrection. Because the resurrection is nothing less than our eventual return to God, to orderly communion with him, by which the fall we were separated. We don't have communion with God after the fall until our baptism. It starts to bring order back to our lives, and then from thenceforth, you're baptized when you're 8 days old, 10 days old, a couple weeks old, and you get brought forward throughout your Catholic life to the time when you're 90. The whole time, if you are doing what you're supposed to do, the guidance and enlightening of the guardian angel and the Holy Spirit, you are brought to a point of more and more order in your life. This prophecy of Daniel is the first time in Scripture that we hear an explicit annunciation of our bodily resurrection. In other parts in Scripture in the Old Testament, it's alluded to symbolically, but in Daniel we have a explicit pronouncement that we will be bodily raised. Happens again in 2 Maccabees. So when you hear people say, oh, the ancient Jews didn't believe in resurrection, yeah, they did. The resurrection is, as I said, return to God in communion and according to a proper order. Those whom God regards as his own are beneficiaries of the resurrection. Because even in the resurrection, there is an order. If you have properly ordered your life, you are raised, as the scriptures say, to everlasting life. But if you are resurrected and you have maintained a disorderly life, you inherit what you wanted. You inherit eternal disorder. What is that disorder? Separation from God. So even in the resurrection, there is this orderliness to God. And what we're striving for is to be one of those whom he regards as his own because of our faith and our attempt in cooperation with our guardian angel and with the Holy Spirit to, in faith, come to a restoration of that order. And it's got to start here. Well, I'll wait till I die, and then the Holy Spirit will do it for me. No, it does not work like that. We have to start that orderliness here. That's what this is, the practical manifestation of this. As I said, even the natural order points us to this orderliness of God that he wants us to bring us back there. Our Lord in the gospel tonight, all that dramatic talk that he talks about, stars falling from the sky, this, that, the other thing, all these powerful things. Is it, what's going to happen to let us know what's happened? Look at the fig tree. What? That's kind of a downer. Look at a fig tree. Yeah, because in nature, it even points us forward, because you look at nature and you see the progress of things in an orderly manner. And when these things are going to happen, what I just told you is going to happen, and you better be watching out for it. And the only way we can see it is if we are well-ordered and disposed to see it. This is our journey toward the resurrection. The journey must be done orderly. It's not supposed to be haphazard. There is not one thing in this book that you got to do it yourself. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. You have to follow the structures and the order that God has maintained, first being his Holy Catholic Church. That's why Christ instituted the Roman Catholic Church as that dispenser of the sacraments that reorder our lives, and through her teaching and the deposit of the faith, continue to improve that order. Somebody shared with me an article this morning. How timely. And it was a criticism of the current state of affairs. It actually was titled Catholic Tribes. There should be no Catholic tribes. However, there are. And I went through this whole list of different groups in the Catholic Church who hold different outlooks on things. And they're very uncharitable to one another and unchurch one another. That's like Protestantism, okay? It ought not be that way in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has historically ever been perfect? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Good times, bad times, but even in the worst of times, historically, there was a clarity of teaching. The bad times were when a bunch of people wouldn't embrace that clear teaching. Okay? But there has always been a clarity. And usually when bad times came up, guess what the church did? Hey, to prevent these bad times from ever coming again, let's clarify something. There was no confusion as to where the Catholic Church was on issues. Moral, theological, liturgical. Okay? In our day, if you say that there should be an order and a structure to things, what is the term that is cast about so frequently? You're so rigid. Why do we recoil when somebody will say that? Why? God is apparently rigid. That's what we've been talking about for the past 10 minutes. He's rigid. If you want to call orderliness rigid, okay, you're rigid. Thank you. I hope it shows. Rigid doesn't mean cold. Rigid doesn't mean aloof. It doesn't mean you don't take this, that, or the other thing, if it's possible, into consideration. But generally speaking, things ought to be this way or that way. The scriptures speak against anything but rigidity. The opposite of rigidity is flexibility. And the scriptures say such things as, for instance, when Jesus asked about people that went out to see John the Baptist. John the Baptist was, He was Mr. Rigid. Vipers, brood of vipers, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Very rigid. Hey, king, you shouldn't be married to her because that's your brother's wife, you adulterer. That's pretty rigid. Jesus says, what'd you go out to see? A reed blown back and forth by the wind? Later on in the New Testament, we are admonished not to be tossed about to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the craftiness of men. We are one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That's our creed. There's a structure. And at the very end, Epistle to Jude, the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One. Not a bunch. Not your choice. Not things other than Jesus. None of that. None of that flexible stuff. Our Lord, he's rigid. We need to be rigid also and not look at it as something pejorative. Like I said, our Catholic life is manifest to structure it, or is structured to manifest this orderliness in our lives. It has historically been manifest in the liturgy, the Mass. Okay, the Mass, no matter where you went, name your country, name your city, name your language, culture, the Mass was in the same language no matter where you went. There was a canon of the Mass that was said. There wasn't four Eucharistic prayers or any of the others in the appendix that you could choose from as options. There was an orderliness to things. You didn't have options. Orderliness is good. It's good for us. It's the way God is. We got to appreciate that. I bring liturgy into this thing. In the book of Hebrews today, speaking of the Old Testament, or actually the New Testament time, but this Jews are still temple worshiping around this same time. And the writer of the Hebrews says, our Lord Jesus Christ did something very different because the high priest had to go in every day and make sacrifices with the blood of bulls and goats, this, that, or the other thing. That our Jesus once for all sacrificed himself. We don't have to do this disorderly thing about hauling animals into the temple anymore. He made it more orderly and much more structured. When we learn this, we become wise. We become those ones with wisdom that are going to shine like the brightness of the firmament. In that first reading, in that prophecy of Daniel, they learned in the teachers, those who have made men virtuous. By our orderliness, we teach others. It starts with the orderly structuring of our own lives. And then it's manifest in our families, if you should be so blessed. Our friends and acquaintances, they watch the orderliness of your life. That's the structure. Always has been. And people who get closest to God, they're more and more structured. I always tout the religious. The religious who go into convents. What do they do? Their life is that. Read some of that stuff. You talk about orderly, wake up in the middle of the night, pray. Everybody goes back to bed. Everybody gets up, more prayer. Mass, more prayer. Everybody go back to sleep for a little bit. Then we have everybody recreate. It's absolutely structured. Because why? They're closer to Jesus than us. That's just a fact. The closer you get to them, historically anyway, the more structured your life becomes. As we get closer to him, the more structured our life should become also. We should appreciate the orderliness of the Mass. It should be, I'm not shunning. This is not one of those criticizing what other people do. Why we do what we do. It's orderliness. There's all kinds of times to do this, do that, do the other thing. But this is a time when we just focus on him. We focus on the centrality of the cross. We focus on reordering our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.